into our first verse of scripture here today, which is our theme for this Pray First series. Did y'all enjoy last week? Man, I just felt like it was real good. Three of you enjoyed it. All right, so hopefully the rest of you enjoy it today. And even if it's courteous, help your pastor. All right. It says this, verse 16, always be joyful and never stop praying. Everybody say, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, and for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Boy, I love that verse so much. Never stop praying. This is the thought we're just kind of around this series. Jot this down with me this morning, that prayer should be our first response and not our last resort. Our hope is that through this series of prayer that this is something that is really growing in your life, that prayer isn't something that's secondary, but prayer is something that is primary for you. And prayer is not an event, it's a lifestyle. And so our hope is through this series that it becomes who you are. Amen, everybody? And I just have been so excited about this series because I know that sometimes, I think we think about topics like this and we just think, oh, I know it. But I think sometimes it's easily missed. And I think if there's anything the local church can be doing more, it's praying. Amen. And I think as we just continue to grow in that place of prayer, that God desires for us to grow in just a greater relationship with Him and go farther than we've ever been. How many want to go farther than where you're at? You want to see God do more? Amen. Well, it's going to take prayer. Now, that's the secret sauce. I'm telling you, it really, really is the power of prayer. So last week we talked about that prayer is a way of life. That it's like oxygen to you. It's like gasoline to a car. I mean, you cannot live without oxygen. You need prayer. Same thing for your life. You're going to need prayer in every facet of your life. And so one of the things that we did, a few things that we just tried to make available to you last week, and I want to just kind of bring them up again just in case you missed it. First of all, we launched our 21 days of prayer last Sunday. And I think we're off to a pretty good start. And we're just have already just been hearing some great things and just of what God is doing in the lives of people. But if you're not following us on social media, on Facebook, I want to encourage you to do that because every day we're putting out for 21 days a devotion and just some scriptures to help build your time alone with God. And as well as we gave these out last week, these are our Pray First, our prayer guides. So whether you're new at this or you're a veteran, I'm telling you, this will be beneficial to you. So if you didn't grab one last week, please make sure you go by the hub, ask our team for one, we'll hook you up with one. Also, we got these cool wristbands, all right? Anybody rocking your wristband today, all right, cool, and it just says pray first, and so you're welcome to have those as well, and just as a reminder throughout your day and the week that, you know, good and bad, whatever happens, that we pray first, and this is something that God is really wanting to continue to be building in us. I'm telling you, there's nothing more powerful than a praying church, everybody. It's the will of God and the heart of God that His house be a house of prayer. And so I want to encourage you to do that. And in speaking about that on our connection cards, I'm just really encouraging you as a people, take this as an advantage for you. If there's anything that we can be praying for in your life, write it down on the bottom of this connection card. And you'll notice it's perforated. So our team, what they do, you can drop it in the offering bucket at the end of the service. They'll rip it off. We won't know on Saturday mornings. We'll pray for these. We won't know who it is. We just know what we're praying for. But God knows your name, everybody. All right? And so that's just a way just to help you and just to know it's safe and we want to be agreeing together with you. And in speaking about Saturday mornings, we had our Saturday morning prayers are at 9. It starts at 9 a.m. We end on time at 10 a.m. or before. And this past week, many of you, both of our services combined, I mean, this whole area of our stairs in the front was just flooded with connection cards and things that we can be praying for. And I will just say it is an honor for us to pray with you. We had so many people just respond about that, those who are here. We had an amazing amount of people come yesterday to pray. And so I know God is stirring in people and to pray and to go farther because I know that we aren't just content with where we're at, that we want to see God do greater things. Amen, everybody. Everybody shout greater things. And so I'm hungry for that, and so I hope you are too. And so, but we can only get there without the power of prayer in our lives. So I want to encourage you to just take advantage of those things and grab those things on your way out. Get on social media as well, on our Facebook, and like that if you already have it. Martin Luther made this statement. He said that prayer is not overcoming God's reluctance, but laying hold of His willingness. I love that statement so much because that's the heart of God for you and I. And so I want to help to kind of continue to build just this part of our prayer life and trusting God a little bit more. And I want to do just kind of a recap and a review a little bit of this past Sunday that we had. But Jesus is talking here in Matthew chapter 6. And he's addressing the people on specifically about prayer, because just some people were not getting this right. And so he was trying to help. And he says this, in beginning in verse 5, it says that when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites who love to pray publicly on street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I assure you that this is all the reward that they will ever get. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father secretly. Then your Father, who knows all secrets, will reward you. And when you pray, don't babble on and on as people of other religions do. They think their prayers are answered only by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, because your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. So what I want to do is, just for a couple minutes, just take this passage of scripture, recap a couple things that I think is a good reminder for us as we continue to journey forward. And then I want to talk to you on the subject today of just unanswered prayers. What do we do when we feel like our prayers are going unanswered? Because I think for some of us, we get frustrated and may be frustrated right now, or maybe you're not in a place of prayer. My hope and our goal through this is that we can encourage you to take that step in the place of prayer and have a conversation with the Lord. And so I'm going to talk to you more about that in a minute. But first of all, here's the first thing we got to do. And this is what Jesus is saying in this passage of scripture, is be real. Jot that down. Be real. Be who you are. Be the best that you can be, all right? And be you in that place of prayer. That's what God is saying. And notice he said in that scripture that some of you, he said in this, are hypocrites, that they're just wanting to be seen to by other people and to perform. And so Jesus is saying, I just want you to be real. I want you to take this from something that you have to do to something that you want to do, that it becomes not a duty, but it becomes a desire, that it's not a ritual, that it's something real. It's something of who you are and something that you enjoy. Can I tell you, prayer is meant to be enjoyable. And I can't think of anything else that's more enjoyable than hanging out with Jesus and getting some help from Jesus. Amen, everybody? And so we've got to take it from that place. It's not about some kind of religious performance. God's looking for you to be you and that place of prayer and to be real. I remember when I was really even just kind of young in the journey, that I would be trying to pray prayers and intertwine them and throw in some scripture, and I get the scriptures wrong when I'd say it, and then I'm praying for names and I'm forgetting people's names. And just so you know, there's no extra points for a stellar performance, all right? So just relax and just enjoy your time with God and be who you are. Look at the person next to you and say, be real. Be real, because here's what I know. Fake is exhausting, and ain't nobody want to be fake, all right? And that's what Jesus is looking for. Be you, all right? Amen, everybody? And so, here's what I think happens too. I think sometimes we pray like we think God wants us to pray, when God is just saying, I want you to be who you are. I want you to talk to me as such. Here's the second thing, jot it down, is be relaxed. I almost did a different point on this and to kind of make it funny, but I didn't. So you could do a sub point. Just chill out. I mean, just chill. I mean, I think we just get so caught up in the culture that is so fast paced that it is in our life, that God wants this. This is the part of enjoying time with God. And just taking our time in this with him. And so we talked a little bit about this last week and finding a place. That's what Jesus said in the scripture. He said, I want you to find a place. Close the door behind you. Let's get some time with me and you. So it may not be your bedroom, because, you know, if you're praying in your bedroom, I mean, you may know, man, I got to make the bed. Man, look at the pile of dust. I mean, I got to clean today. Lord, excuse me while I get my dusting on. You know what I mean? Like, we just get caught up in all. I don't know if you've ever experienced that. You start praying and all these other things start coming to your mind. And then you see, oh man, I got to pay the bills. There's the bills. Lord, ain't nothing more discouraging than a pile of bills I got to pay while I'm praying. Am I talking to anybody in here? Know what I'm talking about? It's frustrating, man. So you got to find yourself a place, all right, where you don't have all those distractions happening in your life, and just relax, just chill, all right, and enjoy your time with God. I think if there's one word that could hinder your prayer life, it would be hurry. I believe hurry is the death of a prayer. And so I just think that many times we just get in such a hurry in this life, and God, listen to me, he just wants some time with you. He wants to spend time with you. He wants you to open up a dialogue and to talk with him, to hear from him. And here's the other thing, is be honest. Be honest about whatever you're going through. Be honest about what's happening in your life. Jesus said, hey, I don't want you to recite something that somebody else has said. Share what's really on your heart. You know, I think about my relationship with Bethany and my marriage. You know, I don't go to her reciting the same things every day. How many of you know my wife would go crazy if I just said the same thing every day, you know? And so here's my encouragement, and this is what I'm trying to say. It's just, it's a conversation with God. And I think sometimes we make this too difficult. And so for me and my wife, I know we have different conversations throughout the day. And that's my relationship with the Lord. Honestly, there's different times of the day, things may be going on. And I'm just talking to the Lord about him and continually bringing those things before him. Because here's what I know. Just kind of old-time Christianity, we can get caught in Christian cliches and phrases. And I don't think these phrases are bad, so hear my heart. But I just think we can get stuck in these places and saying just prayers like, Lord, just lead me and guide me in Jesus' name. Or, Lord, bless this food to the nourishment of my body. All right, that's not a bad prayer. All right, but Lord, I just thank you for blessing me, blessing my food. Or the creepiest prayer I think I ever prayed in my life was when I was a boy. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I think about those words. I pray the Lord my soul to take. You know, there ain't nothing like, you know, confessing death and fear right before we go to bed at night. Amen, everybody. Lord, help us. So here's what I'm saying. Be honest. Share your heart, all right? And be you. Can you imagine if I came home from work and I got home and my kids, you know, I walked in the door and they said something like this. Oh almighty procreator of our family, how wonderful thou art, who sovereignly deposits your love to us. Oh, the majesty of thy wonderful self, thy Father, we beseech thee to come and eat dinner with us. Amen. You know, if my kids ever said something like that, I would fall out. I mean, I would freak out. I just want them to say, Daddy's home. Come on, somebody. Amen. Just want them to know, Daddy's home. Let's eat. Come on, let's do what we need to do. All right? And that's what God is saying to you and I. Hey, we're his kids. And he said, I just want you to talk to me. All right, you don't have to get in this these cliches. Just be you is all I'm saying, and enjoy your time with the Lord. Amen, everybody. I'm not saying be flippant about it, but you've got to understand, he's just not the big man upstairs. He wants your heart. He's a God that's relational and desires your heart. Amen. And so I want to spend a few minutes talking to you today about what, if you're in this place and you feel like your prayers are going unanswered, what do you do? If you feel like you're in a place like that and you've had that happen, you know what I'm talking about. And if you haven't, you'll go through it. Job went through it. Job chapter 30, verse 20, he said, I call to you, O God, but you never answer. And when I pray, you pay no attention. How many know that may demotivate somebody to pray? And here's what I realized, that sometimes, and there's maybe some of us in here today that maybe your relationship and your prayer life is not going anywhere. Maybe you feel like it's sputtered at some point in the journey because maybe you've had a moment like this where you felt like your prayers have gone unanswered. Here's what I know. I know when our prayers go unanswered, many times it can be very frustrating for us. Right? And it can bring about, I think, sometimes discouragement, but I think we've got to understand the heart of God, and that's really what I'm going to talk to you about today. But we hear scriptures like Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call to me and I will answer you. And so, and we hear verses like this and we think, well, man, that's false advertising, or man, that might be good for someone else, but that's not happening with me. And so what happens oftentimes, and the enemy's real good at this because he's the master manipulator, to try to bring a disconnect between you and God. So my hope today is to get you guys connected again in Jesus' name in the area of prayer. Amen, everybody? And so, because here's the questions we ask. God, is it me? Lord, is it you? What's the deal? What's the situation? And again, I think the problem is a lot of times we just don't understand God and his ways many times. And so I want to give you five things that I really believe is strong in the scripture, very clear, that if you find yourself in a place that you feel like, man, I just don't think my prayers are being heard, or I feel like they're going unanswered, I want to, again, just connect you and God again and for you to see these different things in your life. First of all, jot this first one down, that God doesn't have blind spots. He doesn't have blind spots. He knows exactly what is going on. He's kind of like a traffic reporter in a helicopter. I this is kind of the analogy I like to use, because when we were living in Columbus, Ohio, that's a big city, big city. And so our local news there would have multiple choppers, you know, going through the air, and especially in the mornings, looking at, and at the end of the day, traffic reports. And how many know those choppers can see a lot better than you and I can? And the same could be said for God, that God is seeing things in your life that you may not see, but he sees it. And what we have to learn to do is trust the eye in the sky, everybody. And trust that he sees and he knows a lot better than we do. So my heart is not going to rest in my experiences and what I know, because I know that can get me in trouble. But my heart and who I am, I'm going to rest in knowing that God sees and has a better vantage point of this life than I do. And I'm going to rest in that. And so we must trust the eye in the sky. Hebrews 4:13 tells us that he knows about everyone everywhere. Everything about us is bare and wide open to the all-seeing eyes of our living God. Nothing can be hidden from him. Can I be real honest too with you today that I've just learned to thank God. This may be hard for some of us to hear, but hear me out. I think I've just come to a place that as I'm journeying and learning just like you are, to thank God for his denied requests. I'm glad for some prayers he didn't answer. I go back to my hometown and see some of the girls I used to date. I'm glad he didn't answer some of them prayers. Thank you, Jesus, all right? I think about early on in our church history when we launched in 2012. It was in our second, we were about only two months in, and we had a fire marshal come. We were at Northwood Middle School, and they said, man, churches, we weren't fit to have church services in the school anymore. I got a phone call on a Monday morning saying, you got about 4 weeks to find a new home. And in church planner terms, so you understand this, that's like a death sentence early in a church life. And Pastor Dino Rizzo, one of the pastors and directors of ART, told me later on, he said, I definitely didn't want to tell you during it. He said, but y'all were a statistical miracle, the fact that you made it past that. How many know that's the hand of the Lord? But here's the thing I want to tell you. I was praying for another school. You know, I was like, all right, Lord, open up another school in Jesus' name. There's got to be, okay, one of the county schools, Lord, what am I not seeing? You know, and again, we're just a couple months in as a church, and we don't have much. And so just looking, we're all of a sudden, we were praying first, come on. And we were fasting. And then all of a sudden, God opens up another door. One that I wasn't looking for, with an ugly-looking building on Lima Road for us to call home for a season. And it was vacant for years. Nobody had been in there. It was bat infested. Y'all know we need some Jesus with some bat infestation in a church building. Woo! I thought, Lord, I don't know how you're going to move here. You know what I mean? But thank God, you know, he did, and he was faithful, and it's not about that. But I remember when we got in there and we started building, and we got, you know, we survived, really, that first year. It was amazing for what God did. But I look back, and I look at a church that was about 3 months old, and thank God that he didn't answer my prayer by sending us in another school. What he said and what he saw was a building that a young church of 3 months needed stability, needed a home right away to come together and begin to work towards what God has for us. I'm thankful he didn't answer my prayer about some other school. Thank you, Jesus, for denied prayer sometimes and requests. And I know that's hard sometimes to hear, but I hope you hear my heart with this, that I'm convinced that when God does that for us, I'm convinced that he's protecting us. And I know that's exactly what he did for us as a very young church. It's been amazing to watch what God's doing because, you know, from things that sometimes we don't even know about, only heaven knows. Proverbs 2:8 says, for he guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones. Here's the second thing. God does have a better idea. He really does. He's got a better idea about what's going on in your life. And sometimes I think we have a very hard time trusting how God wants to do things. And we think oftentimes that our way is better. How many have ever been there? Ever thought, man, I think I know a little better sometimes? I have. I know. And I've been humbled by it too. But God knows exactly what you need. And so I've been waiting a couple months to share this one thought with you that I've had on me and I've been praying on for quite some time. When Beth and I and the kids were on vacation back in June, I just had a night before the Lord, and I try to take some opportunity when I'm on vacation just to meditate on the Lord after the kids go to sleep and just kind of hang out with God. And there was one thought, man, that God just kind of dropped in my spirit for this vacation, and it's not left me. And I wanted to share it with you because I feel like it was for me and it was for us. And so I just want you to think about this and even as you go on about your day and this week and to think about this. But this is what the Lord had said to me. He said, Kyle, if I were to answer every prayer that you have prayed and even every prayer that the people of Elevate City has prayed, would they be ready for it? And could we handle it? You know, and I thought about that so much. I thought, whoa, Lord, say it again. you know? And he said, if I were to answer every prayer right now, would you be ready? And you know, I said, no. I said, Lord, there's still things in me I need to get ready. There's still things in our church that we can continue to prepare and do better. I can continue to grow as a husband, can continue to grow as a father, amen? We can continue to pastor better, lead better, develop more leaders, continue to grow in character, grow in maturity, and disciple more, and continue to reach and do these things. But I say that to you, to between you and God, when you hear that statement, I pray that, you know, it brings a self-evaluation to your heart. And so what is it in my life? Maybe there's a sin issue. Maybe there's things that have been tripping you up that you realize only God can take care of. But I'm just asking you today to be honest with God. Be honest with wherever you're at. Because again, wherever you're at, man, God's not scared of. God's directly connected with right where you're at in your need. And I'm so thankful for a God who is close. I hope y'all got that today. Isaiah 55 says this, that this plan of mine is not what you would work out. Neither are my thoughts the same as yours. He doesn't think like us. Help me read this last part of this verse. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours and my thoughts than yours. If you're following along in our notes, just circle that word or underline that word, ways. Because here's what I think happens to some of us sometimes. That we get stuck in prayer. We get stuck in our relationship with God because we think it's got to be this way or no way. If God doesn't move this way, then it must not be God. When God is saying in this scripture, no, the way I'm going to do it, I've got all kinds of ways I can move. I got all kinds of ways that I can make an impact and make change happen in your life. And so what we have to do is take God out of the box and not just try to control God as some genie in a bottle and say that, God, your ways are higher, so I'm going to trust in the ways of God. I'm not going to do whatever I've known or even what my experience has taught me, because sometimes your experiences can be your greatest weakness or enemy even at times. So what you've got to learn is to have a fresh perspective that, God, however you want to do it and whatever ways you want to work through, I'm sold out to it. I'm going to surrender to your purpose. I'm going to surrender to your will because I know you know better. I know that you see it. You're the eye in the sky. You see this farther better than I ever could. You've got to trust in God. You got to trust in that part of who your God is. Amen, everybody? Ephesians 5:20 says, God can do anything. Everybody say, God can do anything. Come on, say it like you believe it, church. God can do anything. You know far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us. His Spirit deeply and gently within us. Out of the Message, man, I just think it's so powerful. Even when things don't go like the way you think they ought to go, can I tell you one of the greatest things that will help you in a season like that is stay teachable. Because if you're a person that adopts teachability, you're a person that values that, I'm telling you, you're going to be a person that applies well as well. And so I want to encourage you, in the midst of uncertainty, in the midst of when I don't feel like my prayers are being answered, remember, stay teachable. I heard a definition some years ago of teachability, and I don't know who to give the credit for, and I just thought it was great. And they said this, that teachability is the ability to learn that which you think you already know. Now, that's good. We could preach a whole series on teachability. Amen, somebody. Teachability, I'm going to say it again, is the ability to learn that which you think you already know. And so even when we don't understand it, even though my past experiences tried to tell me this, God can always do things differently and in a fresh way and fresh ways. And we've got to trust that part of the character of God, of the eye in the sky. Stay teachable. Stay humble. Arthur Pink said this, that prayer is not so much as an act as it is an attitude. I like this. An attitude of dependency on God. I think one of the most incredible values that you and I could ever get in the place of prayer is not what we can get from God, but what we become. And when you're spending time with God, whatever you're consistent in, you're going to grow in. And as you are consistent in your relationship, consistent in your prayer life, I'm just trying to get this in your spirit today, that as you are consistent in this, you will flourish and grow in. And I pray that is our prayer as a church, that personally and then as a church that we grow in this, because as you're growing in your prayer life, guess what happens to the church? We grow together. and the place of prayer. Isn't that powerful? And so I want to encourage you to understand. You know, I think about unanswered prayers. I think about Daniel. They sentenced him to the lion's den. I said, man, you're gonna be killed by a bunch of lions. I can't think of a more brutal death than being torn apart by a bunch of lions. I'm sure he prayed, Lord, I really don't feel like going down in the lion's den today. But yet what happens? He was thrown down in the lion's den. Come on, I wouldn't want to be hanging with Simba and Mufasa. I don't know about you, especially when Simba and Mufasa are hungry. You know what I'm talking about? But yet he was thrown in the lion's den. And what happened out of that? Man, God shut the mouths of the lions. Did a miracle. And mind blown. I remember this story about the Apostle Paul. He was going out to preach to the masses at an amazing crusade. And man, you got to just, if you imagine this morning, you got to just think about, man, the passion. He's getting ready to go preach to thousands of people. And all of a sudden, and instead of going to preach to many people, he takes a detour. God takes him on an alternate route and he ends up in prison. I mean, that's probably not what Paul was thinking, like the day was going to be like when he woke up that day. But instead, you know why God did that? So he could take some extra time within that time he had in prison. How many know you got some time in there? And so to take some time to write. And so Paul is, you know, helped write 2/3 of the New Testament. And so when you think about God's purpose, he's always seeing things differently than we do. And I'm thankful for that. I'm glad for that. Are you? Amen, everybody? Number three is this. This is a powerful one that is your going forward in the place of prayer and continuing to trust God, and you feel like your prayers are going unanswered, is remember, he's always got an unseen purpose. Always has an unseen purpose. Isaiah 46 tells us this, that my purpose will stand and I will do all that I please. I love that verse. That's a verse of authority from God. That while everybody else may be freaking out, God's saying, my purpose is going to stand. And I'm going to accomplish everything that I please. I believe behind every problem, and God is not the creator of problems, by the way. I want to make sure you understand that. Behind every problem, though, is a purpose. God's purpose prevails in the midst of our problems. Actually, I'll say it this way. I like to say problems are pre-miracles for God to do something incredible. I really believe that. And we start viewing things. Just think about it. As we grow in God's character and the place of prayer, all of a sudden we start viewing problems a little bit differently than what we used to. Because we realize who our God is and what our God is capable of. Amen, everybody? So the more you pray, the less you'll panic, everybody. The more you worship, the less you'll worry. You can trust God. 2 Corinthians says this, therefore, do not lose heart. Look at the person next to you. Say, don't lose heart. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. That word temporary means subject to change. Whatever's happening in your life right now is subject to change, but what is unseen is eternal. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes off everything else that's going on and just trust with God. You know, most kids have trouble when their parents tell them no, right? Am I talking to any parents? If your kids don't have the trouble no, then you need to be up here, all right? Because mine have a big trouble when I say no. But can I tell you, a true mark of maturity is when you can handle things that you don't understand. That's a true mark as you're growing in your relationship with God. And that's why I'm saying, guys, there's a place that you can be consistent with him, and it doesn't have to be bumpy along the way. But the only way you'll find that consistency and that confidence in the place of God is by your time with him, spending time with him. Amen? Here's the fourth thing. Everything that God does, remember this, everything he does is motivated by love. When you are in the midst of a place where you feel like God does not make sense, you need to realize that everything God does in his ways are motivated by love. And the enemy, the scripture calls him the father of lies, will do his best to get you to try to doubt that very love that God has for you. But I'm telling you, don't give an ear for it. Don't listen to the lies of the enemy or the manipulation to try to get you and God disconnected. The enemy's real good at trying to do that, but trust and know that everything he does is motivated by love. Psalm 25:10 says it this way, all the ways of the Lord are loving and faithful. How many of you, the parents in the house, your kids get mad at you when you tell them no on something? I mean, let me see your hand, just wave it. Okay, all right, just make sure I'm not the only parent, all right? And because I don't always give my kids what they ask for. You know, can I have more chocolate? No, you know, no, you can't, you've had enough. You know, can I stay up later? No, it's time to go to bed. You know, I need a break, you know. Just being honest, all right? There's sometimes, all right? You know, can I stay longer? No, we got to go. You know what I mean? And many times, and I want you to think about what I'm saying when I'm saying this today. Many times our kids think that, man, you know, mom and dad, that we're creating suffering for their life. How many know one day they're going to get it? They're going to understand, and they're going to know. But the truth is this, I don't want them to suffer. That everything I do for them and my kids, I do with a motivation of love. Because how many know, if I just let my kids, trust me, Ashton and Braxton, or Ashton and Judah, Braxton will get there one day, but my two kids, all right, right now, because Braxton's still a baby, if I just have them eating ice cream all day, how many know their teeth are going to rot and fall out? So everything I do is motivated by love, amen? Because they would have it breakfast, lunch, and dinner if I let them, and so, but we love them. And so everything that we do is motivated by love. Everything God does is motivated by love. So if you feel like you're in a place of suffering, I want you to understand that. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that in all these things, God works for the good of those who love him and have been called according to his purpose. He's never going to let you down. He's working on your behalf. Even if you don't see it, remember, don't get your eyes on what's seen. Remember, he's working behind the scenes even when you don't know it. Thank God for that. When it seems like my prayers are going unanswered, remember this last thing here today, that God always gives us grace. Always gives us grace. 2 Corinthians 12:9. I want us to capture this, the heart of this verse that says, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. I want us to keep that verse up there because I think, man, I just know growing up for me, I've read that verse a lot, but I want this verse to come alive to you today because no matter where you find yourself at, grace is available for you today. Even when it feels like our prayers are going unanswered, even when it feels I'm tripping up over the same thing, I love what God promises us by telling us, hey, my grace is good enough for you. And not only that, that my power, guess what? In the midst of our issues, in the midst of our sin, guess what? My power is still made perfect in weakness. Aren't you glad for a God who extends that kind of love and power to your life? Aren't you thankful for that? Because I know that way, when I trip up and when I have the moments in my life, then I'm thankful that I can call upon verses like this and say, God, I thank you for your grace. I thank you that your power is made perfect in my weakness. What's grace? It's the power to handle the situation that you're currently in. Even when you don't understand, and even in uncertain times, grace carries you. I'm thankful for grace. It's the power to handle that situation you're in right now. God doesn't, listen, he doesn't promise that he's going to answer that prayer the way you want it answered. He doesn't promise that everything is going to go like the way you want it to go. But he does promise us to give us his grace. And here's the real secret. I want to give you this last verse here this morning. And it says this, Psalm 9, that those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. Love that verse. And here's what I know, and we're getting ready to pray. Here's what I know, that for whatever I'm at, and I feel like these moments, because I have these moments at times where I'm like, God, are you not hearing me? But for every time, and I'm learning with you in this. I'm learning in this journey too. And I think so much about in those moments that my mind, instead of getting focused on why not, I get more focused on his faithfulness and what he has done. And I say, God, even though I don't know what's going on right now, I know you do. But God, I can look back in my life and see a lifetime to this point of faithfulness of prayers that you've answered. Why? Because he's a good God, everybody. He's a faithful God that loves you, that extends his grace, and his mercies are new every morning. I want you to know your God is for you, and he's working on your behalf, everybody. And you can trust in him. You can trust him. And so I want to just declare that right now, that he is a good God. And everything in your life, everything he's doing is motivated by love. We've got to trust the eye in the sky. Can you say a good amen? So let's pray. Just bow your heads right where you're at. I want to pray over us. Father, I thank you, God, so much for messages like this, that God, that we can grow closer to understanding your ways and who you are and how you operate in our life. And so, Holy Spirit, I'm just asking you to minister to our hearts because I know there's some of us that have been frustrated. I know some of us, maybe a few in here today, God, that maybe there's been a disconnect between you and them. But, Lord, I know it's your heart today. You're reaching out to them right now. Maybe there's been a disappointment, discouragement because of something that wasn't answered, but Lord, let them and help them right now. Father, I pray in Jesus' name to now trust in your ways, to know that, Lord, you have the best viewpoint of our life and you know better than we do. So Lord, I pray right now over every person, just healing, Lord. God, that you would just wrap your arms around them right now in the mighty name of Jesus. God, that they feel your love, feel your security. I speak strength and life over them, and I rebuke the enemy. Every lie that the enemy has tried to tell in the name of Jesus, I declare you have no place and no voice in their life. And I declare, God, for their relationship with you, God, I just speak that it goes to places it's never been. And so, Father, stir up. Let us catch the spirit of prayer in the name of Jesus. Just continue to keep your head bowed and eyes closed just right where you're at. If you're here this morning and you don't have a relationship with the Lord, your first step is declaring him Lord of your life. Declaring him as your best friend. And I just want you to know today, he loves you so much. Over 2,000 years ago, God sent his son, Jesus, to die for us on a cross because he loved you. He thought about us way before we were even born. His purpose for you and I is incredible. And I want you to know you can trust him, but he didn't just stay there. He died, then he rose again. We serve a God that is alive and well. And this morning, if you don't have a relationship with the Lord, I want to encourage you. In just a moment, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Or maybe you're here and for whatever reason, you've just not been pursuing after God. Maybe you did at one point. And you say, Kyle, I don't even know what's happened, but I know I need to make him a priority again in my life. Come on, if that's you, I'm talking to you too. So in just a minute, all of us are going to pray in this room. And if that's you, on the count of three, I just want you to slip up your hand right where you're at. And you can put it right back down. Come on, just be real honest. Every head bowed, all eyes closed. Here we go. One, two, three. All over this place. Man, God, that's me. That's me. That's me. See that hand? Awesome, man. See that hand? Thank you so much. Anybody else that says, man, God, that's me. That's me today. Awesome. Thank you, Lord. We're going to pray a prayer, all of us together. Let's just mean this from your heart today. And say this, Lord, Jesus, I need you. Forgive me of my sins. I give my life over to you. Make me brand new. I believe that you died for me so that I can live. Fill me with your spirit that I will know you and serve you all the days of my life. My life is not my own. I give it over to you. Thank you for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we give Jesus a great big hand today, everybody? Come on, let's give Jesus the praise. Come on, amen. We bless you, God. Amen. Listen, I want to encourage